So, Beauregard. So, Rubiat, in the great 39 Malachim's book, has like a whole preface section where he says that you're over on Beauregard every single Shabbos until you have 1 minute. I think the Chavos Chaim is Akdama. Is the Chavos Chaim is two Akdamos. Is Akdama to Mishnah Berurah and the Akdama to Chelek Gimel. Now, Akdama to Mishnah Berurah is very interesting. About Torah is what gives limbs to all of your, gives chiyot to all of your every single limb. And if you want to have a body in Olam Haba and Zman Mashiach, you need to learn Torah, and each mitzvah relates to a specific body part, and that's what's going to give that body part chiyot. And then obviously halacha is going to be the most essential thing when you want to give your body chiyot, because halacha is when you're living out using each body for the sake of mitzvah, for the sake of halacha. So that's the first piece. The Hagam Nechel Gimel says that obviously you need to learn Orach Chaim, but in terms of which section you need to learn, what's the most crucial? Obviously Shabbos is the most crucial. Those questions come up literally every single day. If you know the whole Shabbos, you're being Mechal Shabbos every single week, probably over at the Oraisas. And I think one of the examples that he gives is Beauregard. Beauregard is incredibly difficult. First of all, you need to know what's a mixture, what's not a mixture, what exactly defines the outlines of Beauregard, and then what are the mutter ways? There are mutter ways to get around it, but you need to know what those problems are. Similarly, like warming food up, if you don't know what you're doing, then you're probably over, warming food up is usually the Rabbanan, but you're probably over in the Rabbanan, but once you know the column, then you can figure out a way to do it properly, to do it correctly. So Beauregard is similar, but you really need to learn the column. There are three main rules, which makes things pretty easy, and then you have to know how and when to apply them. So, a couple of examples. When does Beauregard come up on Shabbos? So, eating watermelon, eating melons, you're removing the seeds from the melon itself. That's going to be a Beauregard problem. If you're eating chicken or fish, this one shocked me. I learned about this like a year or two ago. Every single time you're cutting chicken, you're flirting with Beauregard. Because if you're pulling the bones away from the chicken, you're over on Beauregard. If you're pulling the chicken away from the bone, then you're totally fine. It's like, that's a very fine line. Like, where are you pulling with your fork is not so, you're not necessarily thinking about so much. So chicken or fish, removing the bones, Beauregard problem. If you have a dish, like a candy dish, like old people have on coffee tables, if you have a dish of candies, and you happen to like one candy, you don't like the other ones, if you're picking out the candies you do or don't like, Beauregard problem. Thank God, because like usually the candy dishes come with separate sections, so you avoid the problem there, but even still, it definitely could come up. Peanuts versus cashews or things like that, sorting, picking out nuts from a mixture is going to be a problem. Setting the table with silverware, I remember I was by Reporn for Shabbos, and Reporn always takes the forks and knives out of the dishwasher and just like throws them on the table, like, what are you doing? Like, no, that's how you avoid Beauregard. If you have a pile of forks, knives, spoons, and you're going one by one and pulling out the things that you need, you're playing with Beauregard. Especially if you just sort them into drawers, you're playing with Beauregard. The way to avoid that problem, and we'll talk about this later, is when you just toss them onto the table, you're effectively unmixing the mixture. Right? When it was all in a clump in your hand and a pile in your hand, and you have a mixture of different things, that's a problem. Once they're all spread out on the table, it's very easy to recognize where's the fork, where's the knife, where's the spoon, so you've avoided any, it's no longer a mixture, no Beauregard problem. But setting the table with silverware, usually from the dishwasher or something, playing with Beauregard. Peeling fruit, shelling eggs. You're removing an undesired attachment that's considered a mixture. Surprising, but we're going to talk about that very soon. That's Beauregard. Putting game pieces away. I was probably over on this every single week. My Shabbos, when I was younger, growing up, consisted of playing Monopoly every single Shabbos. Usually it was the same kid or two kids. That and like basketball. It was a mix. So actually, to be honest, we didn't play the game pieces, we saved the game. Anybody else do this? We saved the game from like week to week, like slide it onto the couch and then pick up next week. We were intense about it. And you can't finish one game of Monopoly in a Shabbos, give me a break. No, it's not possible. That or risk. Risk usually gets messed up though. But if you, for some reason, are putting away the game pieces on Shabbos itself, you're sorting mixed objects. What are you doing? That's Beauregard. And this one is a problem for Talmidei Chachamim, putting a pile of Sfarim back on their shelves. If you have a pile of Sfarim, you can't really tell which safer is which until you get it. That's a mixture of Sfarim, and if you're sorting them without a need for each individual safer right now, bam, Beauregard. So it comes up pretty often. We should probably be aware of how to avoid being over on their right. So first, the way we generally do this, we try to define the Malacha, try to get the exact Hagdara, to try to give the definition, and then we get to a little bit of the Rishonim, they're the ones who are defining the Malacha for us, based on the Gemaras, and then we get to the practical examples. So, what exactly is the definition of Beauregard? So, everybody knows you have Ochel and Soles. You're separating the Ochel and Soles from each other using your hands. using your hands is an important part of the definition, because we have two other melachos which are very similar. Zorah, we spoke about last week, and Mirake, sifting, we're going to speak about in a couple of weeks, are both basically defined in the exact same way, separating Ophim Silvas from each other. The difference in definition is Zorah is separating using the wind, Mirake is separating using a kli, a sifter, usually for flour, and Borer is kind of left in the middle, you're using your hands, even though sometimes you do have issues with kalim. Sometimes you can consider kalim to be extensions of your hands, that's why you're allowed to use forks and spoons at the table. Other kalim, which are not generally used for eating, will be problems of using, you will have a problem of using the kli, but part of the definition of the malacha is that you're using your hands, you're using an extension of your hand to separate ochel from psoles. Good. Is the issue the removal of the psoles, or the tikkun ochel of what's left over, right? I'm doing one action with two outcomes. Number one, I'm removing the psoles. I'm separating the ochel from psoles. I'm taking away that which I don't want. So maybe that's the act of malacha that I'm doing, removing the psoles, the part that I do not want there. But on the other hand, I'm being left with the part that I do want. Let's use a mixture of, I don't know, Latin taffies, yellow versus all the other colors. Everybody likes the yellow ones. No, Pasha, everybody likes the yellow ones.
No.
Ugh. Pasha, everybody likes the yellow ones. Okay, this is like the one guy who likes grape drink, and therefore he gets all the grape drink attitude up. So I'm the one guy. I'm that one guy who likes the banana latte daddy. I've been trying to sublime this from everybody else. They should enjoy it. But yeah, yellow latte daddy, they're good.
All the other
ones. Let's
eat. You also like grape drink?
No, I hate grape drink. Not that far. So yellow latte tapping, let's just assume, for the sake of the argument, that you like the yellow ones, you don't like any of the other ones. You like the yellows, you don't like the other colors. So if you're picking through your huge bag of latte tappings, your huge box of latte tappings, you're pulling out the yellows and leaving the other ones to the side, and pulling out all the colors and leaving those on the side, is the issue the removal of the psoles or the tikkun ochel, the fact that you're left with a pile of only yellow latte tappings? Which one is the issue? So machlokes balamor and ramban, balei kota, that makes a lot of sense. The balamor says that the issue is the removal of psoles. The fact that I'm actively sticking my hands into the mixture and pulling out the psoles is the problem. Big Kaddish, even though, and he says this explicitly, even though this should be a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, right? The whole idea of a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is when I'm involved with object A for the sake of something else, not object A, then I'm technically not, at least not over on the Daraisa, that should be, let's say, it's, I think it's still at least Darabanan, it's only Darabanan, but you're definitely not going to be over on the Daraisa. Malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. I think the classic example, you dig a hole in the ground, if you want the hole, then, yeah, if you want the dirt, then that's malacha for the sake of the thing itself. But if you want the whole, that's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You normally dig a hole when the person digging a hole.
Not for the dirt? Because you're actively
involved. The dirt is good. The dirt is not. The
okay.
Problem.
Thank you. So that should be a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Why are you chayav? Okay, so that's the chiddush of this malacha, according to the Baal Amor. The chiddush is, even though it follows the same paradigm as malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, you're still chayav. The other perspective, the Ramban, says no. We don't want to go that far. We don't want to say that a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is going to be chayev. So instead, it's the tikkun ochel of what remains. You're left with a pile of things that you do want. That's called the tikkun ochel. And that's going to be the yisod. That's what's behind the issue of borer. What's interesting about that is that it's basically a grama, right? I'm pulling aside, I'm taking away the things that I don't want, I'm taking away the greens and the reds and the pinks and the purples. I also like the purple flat down. You're pulling those out, you're actively involved with those colors, and you're not even touching the yellow ones, but somehow still, the malacha is happening through that tikkun ochel. That seems like a grama. I'm not actively involved with the things that the malacha is happening for, but still, chiddush of borer, that's the problem. What's the nasa meaning between the Baal Amor and the Ramban? What happens, is there a heter of removing a bit of ochel with psoles, right? That's a classic one people have heard of. If a fly falls into your soup, you can take out the fly as long as you have a little bit of soup in the spoon together with it. Potentially, you're not even selecting the fly because you also have some of the psoles in there also. This is an anachemina between the Ramban and the Baal Amor.
Ramban says it's
us. So the Ramban, who says it's all about tikkun ochel, you're still being mitakin, right? You still have your soup that's left over, and now you're ready to drink it. So for sure that's going to be a problem. You are definitely mitakin your soup. According to the Baal Amor, it's all about removing the psoles. Well, Granted, I removed the psoas, but it wasn't only the psoas. I wasn't only focusing on that. I also have some of the ophel in there also. So for the bottom part, it would not be an issue. And there's another one. Oh, fine. Okay, so again, we have a nasamina. We'll see exactly how we define it, but two interesting perspectives. One thing that's important to be aware of when we're defining borer, the taz, based on Rashi, is that borer is not limited to food. Even though in the Mishkan it was obviously involved in the seeds, in the dyes, or in the stuff that was necessary for the lashon ha'panim, we spoke about a bunch of weeks ago. The malacha is not limited to selecting ophel, literally ophel and psoas. Ophel and psoas is really just nicknames for the things that you want and the things that you do not want. So a lot of our examples that you already saw were definitely not only food related. That's going to be something which is classic throughout the entire discussion. Okay, so Ramon brings the Thodistic Braisa for defining Borer is Shabbat Ayin Dalet Amid Aleph. Funny Braisa. Tana Rabbanan Hayu Lefanav Mine Ochel. You have a couple of foods in front of you. Borer V'Ochel Borer U'Maniach. Sounds like go ahead, be Midvari, or choose the things that you want from the things that you don't want, and eat whatever you just selected, and even Borer U'Maniach. You can select and leave it on the side. Okay? V'Lo Yivror V'Yimbirer Chayav Chatas. Don't do Borer if you do your Chayav Chatas. What's the, I think, pretty obvious question that comes out of the Braisa? It's a wild fear of Minei Ubei. Like, you went from Minei Kotze Ela Kotze, go ahead and do Borer, even if you want to, you know, you're not interested in eating right now, you can leave it on the side. And the immediate next line is, don't do Borer, and if you do your Chayav Chatas, which means you're just over on the Braisa. What is going on? So Rav Yosef, Rav Hamnuna, and Abaye all the way in to try to explain, to give you the background of what's Mechalik between Part A and Part B. Rav Yosef says, it was mutter to do borer biyad, but it's usher to do borer bikli. That's what Rav Yosef's answer. Rav Hamnuna says, Rav Yosef was biyad. The difference is, are you using your hand or are you using a kli? If you're using your hand to do the separating, then it's fine. If you're using a kli to do the separating, that's going to be a problem, presumably based on what the malacha was done, how the malacha was done in the Mishnah. Usually done in the Mishnah. Rav Hamnuna said, it's mutter when it's ochel mitoch psoas. When you're selecting when you're pulling out the thing that you want and leaving behind the thing that you don't want, that's the mutter way to do it. But the second half of the braisa was saying, if you're pulling out the psoas and leaving that on the side, that's going to be a problem. That's where it's usher. That was answer number two, Rav Hamnuna. And answer number three, Abaye, mutter la'alter, but usher la'acharzman. If you're selecting, you're doing borer because you want whatever you're pulling out right now, that's the mutter way to do it. But if you're for some reason selecting, you're sorting a mixture for an hour from now, 2 hours from now, whatever it is, that's going to be a problem. So we have three different ways to understand the braisa. What is the difference between Part A and Part B? Answer number one was biyad. Answer number two was ochel mitoch psoas. Answer number three was liyad, la'alter, for right now. Yes. So Jesus abided. So most Rishonim understand, we have these three shitos, are they arguing with each other or are they adding on to each other? Most Rishonim understand that each shita is really just trying to explain the braisa, but they all agree to each factor. So Rav Yosef is moded to Rav Hamnuna and Abaye, Abaye is moded to Rav Yosef and Rav Hamnuna. Everybody really agrees that you need these three factors to be matir borer. And the question was there one specific thing that the braisa was talking about? Okay, that's the way most Rishonim are reading this braisa. The only way you're going to have borer beheter on Shabbos is if you have all three factors. So the easy way to remember, ochel mitoch psoas biyad miyad. And if you can just remember that phrase, ochel mitoch psoas or ochel biyad miyad, if you're going to remember that ochel means ochel mitoch psoas, those are the three factors. I think there are acronyms out there, mnemonics. Ophel means ochel mitoch psoas, you're going for the thing that you want, not the thing that you don't want. Biyad means you're using your hand as opposed to a kli. Classic examples of kli, which would be a problem, are like slotted spoons when you're going to be sorting out the liquid. You have like a soupy salad dressing, so to use a slotted spoon for that is going to be a problem. Just one example. And then miyad is that the purpose is for right now as opposed to in a while. So like setting the table, because that is a problem. If you're setting your table, like let's say a woman setting her table before she goes to shul. So it's like 9 o'clock in the morning, the meal's only going to be at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. That means you're missing the category of miyad, that's going to be a problem. Okay, why are these three things necessary? What changes? What?
The miyad, ochel mitoch psoas means you're good. You're not going to go to work.
Right.
Miyad means you're also not going to be a Rome warrior,
right,
which is what we didn't use.
And Biyad also.
And Biyad, I thought you are a Rome warrior with your hands.
So are you saying from the definition?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we said the definition using your hands, we meant like as opposed to a sifter, like a specific kli or the wind. But kalim are involved in muscle glory.
Do you hear we're saying Biyad and what?
It's better to use your actual physical hands than extensions of your hands than specific kalim.
Okay.
We're
going
to talk about the difference between like forks and knives versus more specific kalim, like slotted spoons. That's going to be an important topic.
Sorry.
Okay, why do these three factors matter? What changes when we have Ophel, Biyad, Miyad? So Rashi and Tosfos take one perspective, the Ramban takes another. Rashi and Tosfos say that it's a significant shinui. Normally you wouldn't be doing any of these three things. Normally you would be happy to use specific kalim to get this job done faster or more efficiently. You'd be doing it for an extended period of time. You wouldn't be doing it right before you're eating or as you're eating. And you would sometimes it is more useful to do solas mitoch ochel as opposed to ochel mitoch solas. It really depends on what's more in the mixture. So it's a significant shinui enough to make it mutter l'chachila instead of just the rabbanon. Normally shinui you downgrade something from deraisa to the rabbanon. This is a three-factor shinui, and that's a huge shinui. So that would make it mutter l'chachila. In keeping with the shita, Tosfos says that if you have a mixture where you have more solas and ochel, like our last dafi example. Then what would be a shinui there? What would you normally do if you have more psolas and ophel? Normal would be to pick out the ophel, right? It's a lot less labor intensive to just find the yellow ones and put them on the side. So Tosfos would say, actually, there you need to do psolas, mitov ophel, in order to be mishtanim. It fits perfectly with the shita. The whole idea is you're doing it differently than you normally would do. When there's more psolas and ophel, you need to be mishtanim and taking out the psolas. We don't pass in that way because of the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Hananel. Their perspective is totally different. We don't care about shinui, not shinui. That's irrelevant to the discussion. The point is, what am I doing right now? Am I sorting or am I eating? When you have ochel, biyad, miyad, what action am I involved in? Am I technically eating right now or am I technically sorting right now? So the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Hananel take the perspective that if I'm reaching into this bowl, I'm pulling out the yellow lappy tappy, immediately unwrapping it and putting it into my mouth, that's very clearly also ba'achila. You can't call that borer. It's not the malacha of getting ready to bake bread. I'm eating. This is also ba'achila, not also gebiror, and that's why it's mother. It's a very different perspective on what exactly are you doing. Obviously, Ramban is going to reject Tosfos and Kiddush. It's only going to be considered asur ba'achila when I'm pulling out the thing that I want, right? Asur ba'achila is I'm pulling out the one lachi tefah that I'm interested in eating, unwrapping it, and putting in my mouth. If I'm pulling out all the other colors and putting those to the side first, and then reaching in for the yellow one, that's clearly sorting, that's not asur ba'achila. We pass the mic to Ramban. We will never require you to go psolas. We don't go psolas. The rule is always also to go psolas. Yeah. Okay, so that was all Rimon. The next couple of minutes are going to be straight from Rubriyat. This is really cool. Rubriyat gives a very clear definition and a bunch, and then expands on it really, really clearly. He says that Borer needs two things. You need a mixture of distinct types. So what we need to define two terms. We need to define a mixture, and we need to define types. So mixture has three categories. This is like beautiful for note-taking. There are three different definitions that you can give for a mixture, or three different applications of what a mixture would be, and there are like six. For types. If you can remember the first three and the next six, then you're going to know at least when you're faced with a borer shaila. Very, very helpful. So the first category, I guess you could say, within mixture. I usually take my notes in like outline form, so this is really clear. I have mixture, heading number one, and I'm going to have one, two, three, and then I have my heading number two, types, and then six. And under each one, I'm able to just write out what the definition is. So this is really, really clear. The first definition of a mixture is things which are mingled or interspersed. It's a random mixture which makes it hard to identify an individual item of a certain type. Does that set off any bells? Does that sound like anything you may encounter in the course of a normal Shabbos? Hard to identify. Well, so if you're that's a great example. If you're going to be going for specific things, specific items within a chalent, you will be hitting border problems. Could there be an exception within chalent? It depends. Like how yes, perfect. If you have like huge potatoes, right? It's not hard to pick out when I'm just looking at my plate, I'm looking at the pot, where are the potatoes versus where are the other things. I'm not going to be able to do that with like barley versus beans. If you've cooked it long enough, they're basically going to have dissolved. I'm not going to be able to clearly see the difference, but a huge chunk of potato, sometimes a good geschmack piece of meat, that will not be Boer because I'm not selecting. It's right there. It's not that I had to push away, or it's not that I had to choose from a mixture of the rest of the shalom. It was obvious as to where it was. Okay, so a couple of examples. Mingled or interspersed. Peanuts and raisins. This is a classic one. If you look in salt shakers, they often have like grains of rice in there. So that's actually a big machlokes. Shlomo Ashkenazi showed me that, I think he saw Mishnah Berurah or Chazanish that said that a salt shaker is actually, salt shaker with rice. It was a Chazanish. Salt shaker with rice is not a problem, but it is on the list of classic examples. Boer, laundry in a basket. You guys, I don't know why we always do this, but like the only time that we have time, the only opportunity that we have to do laundry is like Friday mornings. That means that we're just getting it out of the dryer right before Shabbos, and then, hey, I need snacks for Shabbos, what am I going to do? And I'm searching through that laundry basket, so now I'm aware that, hey, this is a Boer problem. You have a random mixture. It's not clearly identifiable what's what. That's Boer right there. Silverware in a drying rack, mixed fruits in a bowl, a pile of Sfarim. All these are issues. So the mutter, when would this be mutter? If it's no need to sort through the mixture to get the thing that you want, so like you said, the potato and the shalom, that's why you would scatter the silverware across the table. It's no longer mixture. It's much. I can see exactly where the forks are, where the knives are, and everything like that. If you have orange and tangerines spread like rolled over a table, as opposed to in a fruit bowl, that those would be like the non-mixture, not intermingled, and that would be okay. Yeah.
In the Rehoboth Anahori, if you like mix the chons and like free one, that's okay.
Meaning you're
usually like, stirring the chons and taste.
Once if it's Nikar Lion, then we're not going to call it a mixture. I guess if spring is what makes that happen, that would be okay. But not sure. Interesting. Yeah.
According to that, if I just see like that fruit bowl, I put the way bottom and there's an orange. I just shoot my hand down there.
Is it obviously Nikar, or you have to like search for it? Meaning
you
have to spend some time.
You have to search for it, like you scan the bowl and see the orange.
Right. I guess if it's obvious when you're looking at the, like you just look at the bowl and you can see it right there, then I guess it would be fine. It's not next. But if you have to like spend even a couple of seconds trying to like sort through, oh, is that a tangerine or is that an orange? Is that an orange? Is that a tangerine? Peach, nectarine, whatever. Then even once you find it, that is going to be considered mixed. Okay, so the mixture number two is things that are embedded or attached. This is not something you may necessarily have thought, so it's good to know. Even if you have two distinct items, if they're attached to each other, they're considered mixed, where they are attached. So this is your bones and fish or chicken. That's a problem. Fat on meat is a problem. Like, oh my God, every time you carve meat, if you have like pastrami for shots or something, and you want to cut off the meat before you bring it to the table, that's a Boer problem. Again, there are ways to do it, there are ways to deal with it, but be aware that it's Boer. The peel of a fruit or a vegetable, that needs to be done somos lasuda. That needs to be done right before you're planning on eating it, because if it's not, which one of the three categories did you miss?
What did you say?
The peel like an orange peel. Right, you're missing miyad. That needs to be done right before you're planning on eating that fruit or vegetable. We usually say it's not like literally the second before. You're setting a table like half an hour or something. There's a little bit of wiggle room, but you should be doing it as close to the eating as possible. Eggs and shells. If you have candy wrappers that got stuck to the candy, like Laffy Taffy, all the time, then that's going to be a problem. You have to spend 15 minutes trying to pick it up, so obviously you want that. Grapes attached to their stems, raisins and raisin challah, all these are examples of the embedded / attached type of mixture. If they're not attached, or if they're just touching, or they're weakly connected, then it would be fine. Examples of that, apples in a bag, liquid in a cup, or food on a plate, as long as the plate's not like gross and dirty, then, and it's not like grease that's stuck to the plate. It's just like food on the plate. None of those are considered embedded or attached, so those would be fine.
Well, if it was loosely connected, right?
Loosely connected is also not a problem. Touching. Touching also not considered embedded or attached. So right now we have two types. We have intermingled or interspersed and embedded or attached. Mixture number three is absorbed or interfused. I guess we'll finish with this. We'll do types hopefully next week and get into the practical examples dealing with a lot of the issues. So what is absorbed or interfused? If you have a small piece of a solid in a liquid, you have this with cholent or soup, noodles, matzah, or farfel in soup, if they're small noodles and they're, I guess, a lot of them all together, then that would be a mixture. To select the noodles from the soup would be a problem. If you have oil floating on top of soup or cholent, which happens in specific institutions, then it would actually depend. If there are clear sections, if like the you can see like a layer of oil and you're not disgusted and you're still able to eat the soup, then you'd be able to spoon off the oil because that's not mixed. It's clearly oil and then soup. But once you get to the layer where like it's kind of mixing, it's a very thin layer where you're soup and oil mixing together, then you'd have to stop. But as long as you're clearly only spooning out oil, then you're fine. Probably would advise not eating the soup then. One more, if you have an insect on a lettuce leaf, that would be a problem. You should definitely check your lettuce before Shabbos if that's relevant for you. That would be category number three, interfused or absorbed.
Why is that interfused or absorbed?
Which one?
Insect on a lettuce.
The tiny one?
Maybe if
it's not like on, maybe it's just in. Like you have to like pick it out of the leaf.
What if it's embedded or attached?
That would be embedded. Oh, why isn't it embedded?
Yeah, how would it be absorbed?
Good question. Question or review, yeah. I don't know. If it's not absorbed or times refused, then this is also going to be your potato and corn, your chicken and soup. Pickles and brine is a good example of that. No one's losing the pickle for the brine. It's obviously right there. If you have large slices of fruit in the fruit salad, meatballs and sauce, or ice cubes in soda, these are all good examples where they're big enough, and you wouldn't call them, I guess, interfused into the liquid. It's just sitting in the liquid. But they're clearly distinct. They're clearly distinct from each other, so those would all be no problem. Those would all be fine. So that is the mixture of part one of RubyVS definition, mixtures. We also need to talk about different types. And these are actually surprising. And then we'll get into the practical examples. What do we do in a bunch of different cases? Is different sizes of chicken going to be a problem of borers and sizes of cakes, different color candies, shirts, socks, all these things, and they're going to be relevant. We'll go into some more practical examples.